tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Inshallah, in today's episode and program, we are going to discuss the sayings of the pious predecessors. Before that, let's first and foremost recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beloved Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the one closest to me on the day of judgment will be the one who has recited the most durood upon me. So without further ado, let's recite together Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers, alhamdulillah, I'm not alone. I'm in the company of our esteemed guest, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani, Hafizahullah, Jazakullah, Sayyidi. Welcome to our today's episode and program, where we will discuss the sayings of the pious predecessors. And the first one we see here is a beautiful quote from Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala, the reviver of Islam, subhanallah. He says that wealth is like a snake that has poison and antivenom, meaning it has the poison plus it has the cure.
Right.
The antidote is its benefits and the poison is its harms. Only those who are aware of its advantages and evils will be able to benefit and protect themselves against its tribulations. SubhanAllah, this is so unique. And putting things in perspective. Sometimes, you know, as the worldly people, they run after the wealth like it's be all and end all.
Right.
And then there are people as well at the same time who see wealth in a very negative light. So we are not moderate. Our view with regards to wealth is not really moderate.
Right.
And here Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, he actually advised us to exercise moderation when it comes to our viewpoint on wealth. Wealth can be evil. And at the same time, it can be something that we can use it to do good.
Yes.
For example, if, let's say, as Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi says, that the poison of wealth is its harms. If this wealth causes us to become arrogant, to become proud, like Qarun, for example, and other people, when they get wealth, they get proud and they become arrogant over time.
Right.
And if this is the side effect of the wealth, then wealth is bad in this regard, in this perspective. And then if somebody has gotten the wealth, a lot of wealth, such as Sayyidina Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. How much wealth did he have? SubhanAllah. But his treasure chest was always open to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah
to do good with that money. Allahu Akbar. So we see the both sides of it. If we say no, wealth is evil, then the same wealth we're gonna spend, buy our plane ticket to go and make Hajj.
SubhanAllah.
The same wealth we are going to use to pay the zakat. Yeah. The same wealth we can use to pay charity, to help the students, sponsor student of Jamia. With the same
Muslims.
Wealth. Yes. Yeah. Buy food with the same wealth and give it to the poor, feed the poor. So there is a positive side as well.
Yeah.
So it's like saying, you know, a cassette player, like in the olden days. Or in modern days, not really modern, it's also an old technology,
right.
CD players. Now we have our phones, the smart devices.
Right.
The device itself is not good or evil. It is there, it's a tool. You can use it to do good. You can use the same device to do bad.
It's a choice that you have.
Yes. So the wealth is something similar. It's a tool. It gives you purchasing power.
Yeah.
You can either purchase something good with it. People have purchased paradise with their wealth. Alhamdulillah.
Subhanallah.
And it is mentioned in one of the Imam of Ahlul Bayt, a person was going for Hajj. So he told him, a wealthy person, he gave him thousands of coins, gold coins, that after I leave, please build a house for me. Mm-hmm. And this Imam of Ahlul Bayt, he says, no problem. When he came back, by the time he came back, he had given all that money in charity.
Subhanallah.
When this man came back, he says, where's the house? He says, I have rather purchased a house for you, not in this dunya, in paradise.
Allah.
Subhanallah. So he said, can you give it to me in writing? He said, no problem, I can give it to you in writing. He gave him in writing. And he told his people, his household people, that after I pass away, place this letter in my qabr. This is signed by the great Imam of Ahlul Bayt. So now, after the letter was placed in the qabr, the next day, when somebody visited the qabr, that same letter that was buried with him in the qabr, it was found on top of the qabr.
Allah.
And when this person looked at the back of the letter, it was written that yes, the purchase is complete. He has been given the house in paradise.
Subhanallah.
Subhanallah. So look at how the wealth, at the same time, it can really purchase us and become a reason for our abode in paradise.
Definitely.
The person who builds a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house for that individual in paradise. How does a person build a house of Allah, meaning a masjid in the world?
Through wealth.
Through wealth, yes, using the money.
Also, Mu'asib, you know, together with that, together with all the good that one can do with the wealth that they have, there are also downsides to it. And,
yes.
and as you've mentioned, that, you know, wealth can also be poison. And that happens when a person becomes greedy, wherein he already has what he needs to fulfill, you know, his daily essentials, whatever it is. But he still wants more and more and more. Maybe he has a big house, he wants another house. He has a fancy car, he wants another fancy car. So when this greed comes into action, then it becomes a problem. And due to this greed, at times, it can take away the iman of a person. You know, like what happened to a person from the previous nations. His name was Balaam bin Ba'ura. He was so pious, you know, from the Bani Israel. He was so pious, and people looked up to him. That, no, you are our leader, you are our imam, we love you, you're so Allah-fearing, you have so much of taqwa. So Allah Ta'ala blessed him with so much of special ability, so much of power. And when his people came to him, told him that, you know what, make dua against Musa alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah. And he was such a person whose du'as would be accepted. So he told them that, no, I cannot. I would not do such a thing. It's wrong. How can I make dua against a prophet of Allah? So they left him. Second time they came again, he gave them same answer. Third time when they came with a totally different approach. When they came, they laid treasures in front of him, gold, silver, jewelry, and all sorts of ornaments and wealth in front of him. When he saw this, He immediately got excited. And at that time, he said, okay, now I will fulfill your wish and I will make dua against Musa alayhi salam. So when he was intending to do this and when he went to carry out this evil act, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such and punished him in this way that whatever words he was saying, it was hitting back on him. And his tongue came out hanging right up until his chest. And in this way, Allah Ta'ala punished him and he lost his iman because of having greed for wealth. So when we have wealth, when a person is blessed with wealth, then the main secret ingredient is to be content with whatever we have. Whether it's less, whether it's more, we be content with that. And that will avoid us from being from having this feeling of greed or from being greedy, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. So yes, greed. Greed is that thing, that desire, that it will never be satisfied, but only the sand of the grave can satisfy the desires of a greedy person. Greed is that poison in this regard about money and wealth. How does it become poisonous when you put greed to it, when you add greed to it? You know, the world and the wealth of the world, for as long as it stays below the heart, it doesn't make a home in the heart, it's fine. And the moment it enters the heart, that's when the problem arises. And he gives the example of a boat that is sailing on top of the water, the surface of the water. And he says, for as long as the boat stays on the surface of the water, it's all fine. As long as the water does not get inside the boat, then it's going to be detrimental. And subhanAllah, our pious predecessors, they used to explain even the most intricate matters in such simple terms, in simple words, like Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala, he mentioned that yes, the wealth can be something good or evil. It can be a poison and it can also be an antivenom to combat that poison.
Right.
Depends how we utilize it.
Subhanallah.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him mercy and forgive us for his sake without accountability. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyil ameen. Inshallah azza wa jal, now we have a beautiful kalam, inshallah, which we are going to listen to until we return. So stay tuned with Madani channel. Sallu ala al-habib,
sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Huzur aisa koi intizam ho jaye salam ke Oh.
سائے جان کبھی جون کی گلی میں قیام ہو جائے, کبھی جون کی گلی میں قیام ہو جائے. حضور آپ جو سن لے تو بات بن جائے, حضور آپ جو سن لے تو بات بن جائے. حضور آپ جو کہہ دیں تو کام ہو جائے, حضور آپ جو کہہ دیں تو کام ہو جائے. اور حضور آپ جو چاہے تو کچھ نہیں مشکل, حضور آپ جو چاہے تو کچھ نہیں مشکل. سمٹ کے پاس لائے چند گام ہو جائے, سمٹ کے پاس لائے چند گام ہو جائے. اور مزہ تو جب ہے فرشتے یہ قبر میں کہہ دے, مزہ تو جب ہے فرشتے یہ قبر میں کہہ دے, سبی حمد خیر الانام ہو جائے, سبی حمد حت خیر الانام ہو جائے. حضور ایسا سلام کے لیے حاضر غلام ہو جائے.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویوز. سبحان اللہ. As we are discussing the sayings of the pious predecessors, subhanAllah, we were just discussing the quote from Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and mashallah, it's so beautiful. And again, the second quote is also from the same Imam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He says here, and it's very thought-provoking, he says that the tongue was created so that we could remember Allah Azza wa Jalla in abundance, recite Quran, guide creation to Islam, and express the feelings of our heart in relation to religious and worldly needs. When the tongue is used for purposes that it was not created for, it is a form of ungratefulness for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, same moderation we see here. Subhanallah, in the saying of Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says the tongue, well, it could be used in either ways. On the bright side, it can be used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was created for that reason. And to recite the Holy Quran, guide the creation to Islam, and express the feeling of our hearts in relation to religious matters and worldly matters as well.
Yeah.
You know, to express what's inside, we have the tongue.
Yes.
And this is the main purpose of the tongue. Now he says, when the tongue is used for purposes that it was not created for, it is a form of ungratefulness for the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah, Allah.
I mean, look at, you know, zulm, we say. It is zulm because waz'u shayhi fi ghayri mahallihi. Using something for the purpose that it wasn't created for.
Right.
That's not its
original.
Proper, yes,
yeah.
Proper usage. Like, for example, if let's say we had to do work with our hand, I mean, this is a normal process, whatever we need to do, we use our hand. If we had to use our feet to do work, and using the hands to walk,
right,
would that work?
Not at
all. It wouldn't work, right? Because it's changing the nature, right, of something. So the tongue, the nature for which it was created, it was to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to make the zikr of Allah azza wa jal, to recite the Holy Quran, to say righteous and good things, the right words that would supposed to be coming out of our tongue, not something hurtful. We are hurting people with the same tongue. We are saying obscene words using the same tongue. We are being ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by complaining with the same tongue. All of these are negative uses and the wrong uses of the tongue. Now, we would be very disturbed and upset if, let's say, for example, our possessions were put to wrong use.
Right.
Even something as simple as a laptop, it opens one way. And if you try to open the other way, it doesn't go 360 degrees.
Right.
You will break the screen and the hinges.
Correct.
If you try to bend it the other way,
it will break.
Exactly. So we have that much sense that, you know, this is how you open a laptop. This is how you close it. And the phone, we don't use the phone with the screen facing the other way. The screen must face us.
Gee.
So we use everything for what it was intended for. But here, when it comes to using our own integral parts of the body that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for our own benefit, for our own good, the tongue, I mean, how hard it would be if we didn't have it.
You know, most of they say the tongue is like a double-edged sword,
yes,
you know, in which you can hurt someone more with the tongue compared to with a weapon. Because the tongue, the effects of it, if someone is hurt by it, then that could shatter, right? But and even if it's put back together, there's still one, two cracks in there. compared to a wound or an injury caused by a weapon, that can still come together. And so we see that the words spoken by the tongue have a lot of effect. And usually what comes out from the tongue is what we keep in our hearts, which comes out through our tongue. So if we have to really think about it, that this is a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And as Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has mentioned, that if we have to use this tongue of ours in a wrong way, that is, you know, going towards the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is us being ungrateful to Allah. And gratitude, gratefulness is such an important aspect in Islam, in a Muslim's life, that if we, that the more thanks we show, then the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. Now, one may think that, okay, I will be grateful for the house, for the kind of house I'm living in. I will be grateful for the kind of car that I have. I will be grateful for the kind of job that I have. And then together with it, the person lies, the person backbites, the person gossips, the person hurts someone, the person exposes the faults of others. Now, a person is being ungrateful for the blessing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given such a person, that is the tongue, you know. So we have to use this tongue in a correct way. We can use this tongue by sending salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by reciting the Holy Quran. So much of good we can use with this tongue. This tongue, you know, it doesn't have any bones, right? It's a flesh, but still it has so much of impact. Still it has so much of effect. So now it's up to us. How do we use this tongue of ours? And you know, the body parts, the organs, that they alert the tongue that, you know, if you are good, we are all good. If you are bad, then we are going to be in a problem. So if we want to remain safe, then we need to also talk less, you know, because sometimes a person who talks a lot, that person tends to make a lot of mistakes. And together with making a lot of mistakes, the person who talks a lot unnecessarily, that person may even unintentionally or intentionally cause harm to others, or he may hurt the feelings of others. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that one who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the last day, then he should either speak good or remain silent, one of the two, right? So this tongue Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with it. Why don't we use it towards good use? Why don't we use it towards telling something good to someone instead of using it in the wrong way? And by doing that, you never know, just by saying something good to someone, perhaps that person was going through so much of issues. Perhaps that person got his own worries. But just by you saying something good, even if it's one short sentence too, that could mean everything to that person. And all of his worries, all of his sadness, all of it will decrease just because of one statement of yours. So that shows how much of impact it has. And vice versa as well. You could say one bad thing, the person was having a good day, and then everything is gone. So it works both ways. So in this way, if we look at it, using the tongue into good news doesn't only mean reciting the Holy Quran, making dhikr, sending salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when we go out, then we start shouting the person, hey, what's wrong with you? How can you do something like this? How can you do that? And we start taking up with the person, swearing the person, finding faults in another person. Then how is the person using his tongue in a good way? He did something good, and now again he's coming lying, gossiping, and all of these evils. It doesn't get together, you know. So, and together with that, by us, when we use our tongue to hurt someone, then that also falls under violating their rights. You know, because now that we have said something to them, we have sworn them, we have hurt them, we now need to go and ask them for forgiveness. So many sins occur because of misusing one's tongue. Yes. And when that person whose rights we have violated, once they forgive us, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us, because this is huququl ibad. And that's why it's so important that we protect our tongue from the bad usages, from saying anything bad, from committing evil with the tongue. We protect the tongue from all of this. And if a person is doing good, is reciting Quran, then together with all of that, also say good to your Muslim brother, also yes. say good to your family members, also say good to your siblings, to your parents. You know, nowadays you get some children who, or some kids or some youth, some youngsters, where they would come to madrasa, go to school or study at jamia as well. And they would use their tongues, reading the Quran, studying books of hadith, etc. But then when they go home and their parents tell them something, then now they want to backchat. Then they want to raise their voices. All of this, you know, it falls under misusing one's tongue, because that's showing disrespect to their parents. So we see how many sins get involved just because of misusing one's tongue.
Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to keep control of this tool that we have been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use it for the proper usage that it was intended for. And Allah azza wa jalla created the tongue to make his dhikr and to say good words.
Yes.
And you gave the example in the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that one should either speak good or stay quiet.
Yeah. Simple as that.
Very simple. But instead of doing that, when we are fighting and the voices are being raised and people are screaming on top of their lungs, and we want the fights to come to an end, but we'll be screaming and shouting at the same time.
Empty utensils make the most noises.
Yeah, I think of it as, you know, you wanna, let's say, for example, the cell phone example.
Right.
You want to lower down the volume, but you're pressing the up slider, right? And you want the volume to go low.
Gee.
Doesn't work like that,
it
right?
It won't.
Exactly. You want the fight to end, but you won't stop talking. You won't stop arguing. Right. Finish it. Right. Done. Okay. Maafi, talafi, and it's done.
Yeah.
Now, if you start to shift blames and, you know, you did this, you did that, and, you know, I was going to say this, and all of that.
There will never be a solution in that case.
Oh, have a level-headed conversation. If there is a dispute, yeah. right, bring it to the table, right? Okay. Let's look at it objectively, without involving your feelings in there.
Yeah.
Objectively, from a third-party perspective. Right, okay. Okay, it's like this. Okay, I think I was wrong there.
Yes, 100% myself. Subhanallah.
That will put an end to it, but... You know, inshallah, we can only try.
Inshallah.
Now, the next saying of the same great Imam, subhanallah, Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, poverty is a great attribute. But he says further that poverty is a great attribute, and a poor person should be content whereby he does not covet, meaning he does not desire to possess other people's wealth, and he does not earn wealth without being mindful or differentiating between permissible and impermissible means of income. This is only possible if he is content with that which fulfills his needs in matters of food, clothing, and residence, sufficing with the least of amounts. Limit your aspirations to a day or a month. Or do not engage wholeheartedly in the projects of more than a month. Great ambitions and cravings deprive more one of contentment. This leads to a censurable phenomenon, which is called greed. And greed leads to immorality and evil. Allahu Akbar.
Allah.
So a person is poor. And he starts off saying that poverty is a great attribute. Many pious predecessors, actually most of them, they were poor. They lived
a simple life
of poverty.
Yeah.
Not even them. Let's look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the king of both the worlds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted him the keys to all his treasures. But what did he choose? He chose poverty. Allahu Akbar. And he was put in his heart by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to stay with the poor, with Ashab Suffa.
Subhanallah.
To be very close to them. And he was very close to those poor Sahaba, subhanallah. And in this way, we can see the greatness of poverty. But this was the poverty of the Sahaba, the pious predecessors, where they never complained. They never sought the wealth of others.
Yeah.
They were content in their poverty.
That's the main highlight.
Yes.
Them being
and
content.
Yeah, whereby a person does not really yearn to possess somebody else's property. And he does not earn his wealth through unlawful means, then yes, that type of poverty is great.
Subhanallah.
It's a very great attribute, provided that we fulfill the rest of the obligations of
yes. And poverty also, Masab, it's definitely a blessing for a person for as long as Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, has mentioned, for as long as a person is content with whatever little that they have, that, you know, they can see to the essential needs, see to their daily needs. For as long as a person can see to that and they can live their life, they're not going to sleep hungry, they're eating little, but with that is that's where a person gets peace, you know, inner peace, a peace of mind, peace of heart. Because a person, when he's in a state of poverty and he's content, he's not desiring to be greedy. He's not desiring to have more. He's not desiring to be jealous of his other fellow Muslims, seeing them with so much in their bank balance. He's not worried about all of that. He is content with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for him. And, you know, it's mentioned that if a person is poor in poverty, then that is best for a person. Allah ta'ala, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a person into poverty, and that person is content, that is best for a person. So in such a case, you know, when one is in poverty, or if one is in poverty, then we shouldn't be saying statements or remarks such as, why am I in poverty? Why me? You know, this why is a very big thing that everyone says very quickly, or most people rather say very quickly. So if we have to, instead of saying, why me, we say, Alhamdulillah, then due to that, you never know that one day Allah Ta'ala will bless a person with so much of wealth from places where he could not even have imagined. Yes. Why? Because the person who's content, for a person to be content, of course they have to have taqwa. They have to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, never mind your state, never mind what small house a person could be living in, never mind what small vehicle or mode of transportation a person could be using, never mind the small bank balance. But the person who fears Allah, Allah Ta'ala, in the Quran teaches us, Allah Ta'ala will provide for that person from places where he could not even have imagined. So with this in mind, if one is in poverty, then still they should have hope. Still they should not be despondent, because they are not alone. Allah Ta'ala is with them also. You know, so even in such a case, a person should not lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue having hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person has this embedded in him, then they would see so much of barakah in their lives, in their wealth, in the little that they have. Nowadays, we see those who are rich or those who are wealthy, right? The money come and then tomorrow it's gone. They hardly find barakah in that money, because sometimes a person gets trapped in the love of wealth, and then they forget that they have to perform 5 times salah. They forget they have to recite the Holy Quran. They forget they have to give their zakah, because of being so engrossed in just getting money. But on the other hand, the person who is poor, the person who is in poverty, he is still expressing his thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and never mind the little that he is getting, but there's barakah in it, through which even if he eats maybe 3 or even 5 morsels, his hunger is satisfied. If he drinks even a quarter glass of water, his thirst is satisfied. So Allah ta'ala blesses a person in that way. It's just that our perspective of it is wrong. We, you know, if a person is in poverty, then we want to look down on a person. If a person is poor, then we want to turn our face away from a person. Like, who are you? I don't want to know you. Don't come to me. That's what other people are going to think. This is the mentality that some people have nowadays. Whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam highlights how important it is for us to also be there for the poor.
Subhanallah. Very beautifully said, Sayyidi. Poverty is a blessing, but we should learn to embrace it.
Yes.
There's no need to fight it. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us poor, that is the decision of Allah azza wa jal. And by not being pleased with it, with our state, who else is going to bestow upon us?
It is only Allah.
It's only Allah. If He has decided to keep us that way, in that state, then in His infinite wisdom, that was better for us.
Yeah.
And alhamdulillah, sometimes we ask, Ya Allah, make us, you know, let us taste some of what the pious predecessors have been through. They have been through all of this.
Yes.
So if we have expressed our desire to have come to that, then we shouldn't be complaining.
Yeah.
You know, be careful what you wish for.
Yes.
You must be ready for whatever is to come your way. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says in a hadith, the summary of the hadith is that whoever loves the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam truly loves him, then he should get ready for poverty.
Allah Akbar.
Subhanallah. So we should know this. And this is that poverty. This is not the poverty, the spiritual poverty, the worldly poverty.
Yeah.
And we don't know these pious predecessors, awliya Allah, though in the world they lived like in such poor state. But in the hereafter, they will be the richest of people.
Subhanallah.
One of the richest people will be the pious predecessors. Subhanallah. And we would just wish, wow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them such a status.
Allah.
So we don't know. And we shouldn't be judging, as Masab has mentioned, by the outwardly appearance of a poor individual. If somebody is poor, that means we should pay more respect towards him. When you meet the rich, meet with your honor and dignity. And when you meet the poor, humble yourself.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar.
What a beautiful balance that is.
Yes, and this is what we need to learn. And that if somebody is poor, that doesn't mean now you can talk to that person anyhow because he is poor.
Yeah.
No. He is poor, he deserves more of our care and respect. We should humble ourselves even more. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, in the hadith, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that look at the one in worldly matters who is below you. Don't look at the one who is above you in the worldly matters. And in the matters of good deeds, charity, he said, envy is not allowed except for two things. Subhanallah. One of those things is when somebody is giving charity, you feel in your heart that why don't I have so much so I could also give so much, even more than that in charity. Subhanallah. So these are some of the moderate facts. Actually, Imam Ghazali, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he is promoting Islamic moderation. How Islam is so moderate. Everything is precise and calculated. Everything is so logical. Everything is so practical, subhanAllah, and natural at the same time.
Yeah.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the wisdom for a beautiful deen of Islam. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyil Ameen. Dear viewers, inshallah, we have a wonderful piece of nasiha and advice, which we are going to go and listen to it. Until we return and continue with our today's topic. So stay tuned with Madani Channel. Sallu alal Habib,
sallallahu ala Muhammad,
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A very beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Al-birru la yabla wal ithmu la yunsa wad dayyanu la yamut fakun kama shi'ta kama tadinu tudan. Righteousness does not perish and sin is not forgotten. The one who grants reward, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal, will never perish. So be as you wish, you will be rewarded according to how you act. Sayyiduna Allama Abdul Rauf Manavi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he states, you will be rewarded according to how you act. You will be treated how you treat others. How do I want to be treated? I want to be treated with kindness, with goodness, with love, with respect. But we need to give kindness, love, respect and goodness to other people as well. You've heard of the phrase, what goes round comes round. If we be bad to people, if we be nasty to people, then what's going to happen? Exactly the same thing is going to happen to us. So in life, remember a very important lesson. The way I want to be respected, the way I want to be treated, is the way I will treat others as well. And this is the beauty of Islam. The way we treat others, the way inshallah Azza wa Jal people will treat us as well. Be kind. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam enjoined kindness. He was very kind. Even to his enemies, we heard so many stories about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially at the time of the conquest of Makkah, when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam forgave all of the people that were the enemies of Islam. Subhanallah, this is the beauty of our beautiful deen. Let's follow it inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back to your viewers. Subhanallah, what a wonderful nasiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal on it. Ameen. Bijahin nabiyin ameen. Now, continuing onwards with our today's discussion, that is sayings of the pious predecessors. And subhanallah, we were discussing the sayings of the Imam of Islam, subhanallah, the reviver of Islam, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, and now the sayings of the reviver of Sunnah, the Imam of Al-Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan alayhi rahmatul rahman. He says in this beautiful piece of advice that cursing is a very serious matter. I mean, we take it lightheartedly, cursing. Why? Somebody is like, people do it once in a while. And he says, the way he says it is a very serious matter. It should not be said lightly or taken lightly.
Right.
And then he says, every Muslim should be protected from this, against our curse. No matter what a Muslim has done, it should never bring us to curse that individual. In fact, he says, cursing a disbeliever is impermissible.
Allah.
Not only cursing a believer, we should never do that.
Right.
But cursing a disbeliever is impermissible unless death upon disbelief is proven for him from the Quran and Hadith.
Subhanallah.
And we don't know whether that individual is going to die on iman or not.
Yeah.
So we can't even curse a disbeliever. Allahu Akbar.
Allah, Allah.
Look at the wisdom of Islam.
Subhanallah.
Such a beautiful deen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We're cursing a Muslim and even a non-Muslim is not permissible.
You know, Master, speaking of cursing, right, as Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahimahullah has mentioned, that it is a very, very serious matter. And this cursing is, you know, giving baddua to someone else. And, you know, with this regard, one important aspect in relation to this is that, you know, especially with parents and their children, sometimes children, of course, they would make mischief. Of course, they would create a racket, you know, etc., trouble the parents or whatnot. But together with all of that, the parents, it's advised that the parents shouldn't curse their children, shouldn't be giving badduas to their children. You know, rather if a parent is so upset with their child and the child is troubling them, then out of that, you know, instead of saying, may you be ruined, may you be this, may you fall down in life, this, that, rather say, may Allah Ta'ala take you to Medina. May Allah Ta'ala guide you. So by a parent saying this, they are actually giving du'as for their children, and this is also the du'as of the parents for their children is also accepted, as well as the bad du'as for their children also accepted. So parents, you know, we have to refrain from cursing their children and rather give them a du'a of guidance, inshallah.
Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always guide us on the principles of Islam. Ameen. Bijahi Nabi Lamin. Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Until next time, keep reciting Salat ala Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.